to Standing Room Only with John Daly. And you are listening to Standing Room Only on Kill Radio. Hello, Los Angeles. It's your host, John Daly. In the studio with me tonight, assisting me, is Matt Shibesta again. Hi, Matt. You have to get near a microphone if you want us to hear you.
Hi, Los Angeles.
Now you're a happy mic person. And in the studio with us tonight, the band Death Brett.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing? Why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Deathy Hun with the band Death Brett, and this is Don Bowles.
I'm waving over here.
Don's waving.
You couldn't hear it?
He's that germs guy.
I wasn't forcing the air currents at quite the correct velocity. I'm sorry.
Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome yourself.
Pleased.
And let's get right into it. I'd like to start out with both of your personal histories. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay, so who should we start
out How
with?
Personal do we have to get?
Oh, we're going to get very personal, Don.
Okay.
Don't you worry.
Well, then you start, Deathy.
I've got all the information on you.
Oh, gee, I'm not prepared for this at all. Well, okay.
You're a metal person.
Yeah, I'm a metal person to the bone. Let's see.
Okay, well, how'd you start out in music?
What was that? Oh, yeah.
When
concert
and
was Saxon, 1981. I sort of had an affinity for it when I saw it. And got the record, and it was, like, really hard. I couldn't understand it, but now it's like pop. It's kind of pretty tame, but it was cool. It was really cool. It was the first concert experience. But then I became an Airborne Ranger in the Army, and I know it sounds crazy, but yeah, I was a sniper, Airborne Ranger.
He was born in the air.
Ranger school instructor, went to Grenada in 83, and got a confirmed kill and 5 combat awards. It was pretty cool.
Wow. How long were you a Ranger?
4 years. Sort of like airfield seizures, hostage snatches, various raid reconnaissance and ambush missions.
T-shirts, posters.
Oh, I got to get closer like this?
There you go.
Oh, yeah, various raid reconnaissance and ambush missions, airfield seizures, and hostage snatches were our specialty.
Wait, what seizures? What?
Airfield seizures.
Like what is that?
We seize airfields.
Okay.
So like a parachute on them, kill everybody on there, seize the high ground on the other side, and let the conventional troops air land in, they handle the rest, and we leave.
It's really helped us in securing rehearsal spaces.
Yeah.
What years were these when you were doing
that? That was 1982 to 86. We did that in 83. And then became a sniper. You know, it was cool stuff, secret security clearance stuff. It was cool. It was very cool for a young guy.
And what did you do after that?
Then I came to California, you know, to pursue speed metal in San Francisco. But 5 years there didn't garner a cool band. But 10 years here finally has after that.
We finally tracked it down and killed it.
Something. And see, got Hare Krishna in 1987. God, that was good. Merged it with Christianity. And I'll tell you what, you get quite a perspective. When you've got the biblical perspective plus the Srimad Bhagavatam, you get a truly unique. It's very interesting.
Yep. Hail Satan.
Cool.
He's cool, too. Yeah.
And how about you, Don? Tell us your story.
Oh, geez. I thought you researched it.
Your whole story. I researched it so I wouldn't have
well,
to
Well, First Hole
it.
Was originally going to be named after a bumper sticker I found that just said, Sweet Crystal, Powered by God. And then I guess Eric Erlandson thought that was too long of a name, and so they changed it to Hole. Okay, anything else?
I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's my whole story.
He's got to plug the germs.
All right, I have to plug the damn book. Economics just rears its ugly phallus once again.
Tell us about your book.
Ouch!
Well, you were a member of the germs. When did you join the germs?
You said member.
And I'm going to say it again. When did you join the germs?
Oh, because I heard a song that the germs did on a single.
No, when and not why.
It was right after that.
Oh, okay.
Which was,
yes.
I guess the year was 1978.
Wow.
Like February. Ooh, look, I'm getting blood all over your microphone. Isn't that sexy?
That's fantastic.
I think so.
I think the walls are going to be covered in blood by the time we're done here.
We're
black,
on it.
Hopefully, then the blood.
Yeah,
black and then blood.
Black and then the blood.
Right.
Yes.
Actually, mirrors along the top of the black walls, and then the blood dripping down over the mirrors is
what
it's
going to
look
sexy.
And it is awesome, just like the blood of Christ.
Like our studio.
All right, Don, what was the first band you played with?
It was a stupid band that I was in grade school, and I was a singer. And I didn't really want to be in bands, but I could sing, and other people found out. And so they'd come over to my house, these older kids, asking if I'd sing for their band. And I said, sure. you know, I just thought.
What was the name of it?
Might be fun. Well, it was called Tube Steak. Yeah.
Very
nice. Really stupid name, but we were playing at our high school. Nobody even knew. Not one person ever thought, wait a minute.
Nope, nobody
got
it.
That's some sort of a cryptic reference to a penis. Nobody thought that, so.
It was?
Nice. You played at high school events?
Yeah, we played the high school dances. It was fun. I was singing, like, Aerosmith songs. And,
yeah. All right. Then what did you do after that? I assume you...
Then I quit music for a while.
Right.
And school.
And school. And then you rejoined music.
I just sort of wandered around out in the desert a lot on lots of LSD. And then I bummed change at shopping malls. That's about it.
Still do.
And then, I'll try. And then, well, I've changed to strip malls. But then, I don't know, one day I started doing music again, I guess, is what happened. I was, how did that happen? Oh, I don't remember. It's all a blur.
Then we wrote We Like the Night. And,
yeah. No, then, I don't even remember. It was a long time ago, you know. I'm old.
We didn't prepare.
So what was your first real band, would you say?
The Exterminators was the first band I played drums in.
That was great.
It was pretty good.
Great.
Before that, there was a band, Crazy Homicide, in which I attempted to play bass. Thank you, Duthie. But I tried to play bass in Crazy Homicide. I was terrible, but then I made the other guys play instruments they didn't know how to play, so we were all about the same level, and our stuff sounded pretty good. We were the other band in Phoenix that was a punk rock band in 1977. There was another one called The Consumers, and there were these guys who were in cover bands, and they were really good musicians. They were all, like, classically trained pianists and stuff who had gotten into punk. And they had, like, you know, 50 songs that were all really good songs, and they played them really tight, and they rehearsed all the time and were really good. We had 3 songs. We completely sucked. And, I don't know, it was a nice atmosphere. That's where I got the name Don Bowles, too, as a matter of fact. But that's another story.
Okay, so, well, let's go into that story. How did you get the name Don Bowles, and why did you choose Don
Bowles? It was on a
radio
interview, not unlike this one, except that it wasn't much like this one. It was on the hippie station. Well, yeah, I guess it is a little bit like this one.
Hippie station.
But it was on the hippie station, KDKB, in Phoenix, Arizona. And
trippy.
Totally. And they were finally covering punk rock. This is 1978, early 78. And this guy had just been killed by the mob, and that's rare. Usually the mob doesn't bother killing reporters, but this guy, Don Bowles was his name, was a reporter for the only newspapers in Phoenix. And it was big news, man. They blew him up in his car because he was working on some kind of land fraud story, and his legs were blown off. Wow. But he lived long enough to point his finger at a lot of people, and he named a lot of names, and it was... It was shocking.
He survived that?
Well, for a few minutes. He died later that day. And then the next, but immediately the storm was upon us. Don Bowles, Don Bowles, Don Bowles. You'd go to Denny's, you know, the people in the next booth, Don Bowles. On TV and the newspapers everywhere, Don Bowles, Don Bowles. It was like OJ was here.
Right.
It was huge.
Ruined television.
He couldn't avoid it. And so this is right, sort of had been going on for a month. And the hippie station called up finally, and they're saying, "So you have a punk rock band?" I said, "Yes, as a matter of fact." They said, "What is your name, sir?" And I said, "Don Bowles." "Don Bowles?" I said, "Yeah, it's a weird coincidence, huh?" He said, "Yeah, it is." "Now, what's the name of your punk rock group?" I said, "The Bloody Stumps." And it got real quiet on the air for a minute there. We changed our name immediately after that, of course. It was a stupid name, but it was. But anyway, that sort of
effective at the time.
It worked at the time. It got some attention for a minute and got us a laugh.
What did you change your name to?
The Liars, because we'd never told the truth. And then we changed that because that sucked too. We changed it to Crazy Homicide, named after a Russian street gang made up of epileptics and mental patients and cripples. That was apparently particularly ultra-violent.
Wait, what are you talking about?
This band was named after a Russian street gang called Crazy Homicide, and they were apparently made up of mental defectives, you know, and escaped to mental patients and cripples, like paraplegics and stuff.
Yeah, so this street gang in Russia was well known.
They inspired
us.
Very violent.
No, they're extremely ultra-violent.
Ultra-violent.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what, they were getting news, or how did you hear about them?
Yeah, we heard about them somehow. I forget how we heard about it, but it made it to some sort of news report, yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
So that was the name of that band. And then, so I was in the Consumers for a minute, which was the good band with the guys from the top 40 groups and stuff.
Yeah.
To replace their bass player who had gotten in a bicycle wreck. But I couldn't play, really. I sucked. I was horrible. So they sort of threw me out real fast. And then
what
I
were you trying to play? In that
I was
band.
Trying to play bass.
Okay,
I was gonna ask.
It's like bass. It's like, you know, who can't play bass, right? But I couldn't. And I've finally gotten kind of good now, you know, 30 years later. But
yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, not so bad. Well, for that style, for that style.
Well, pretty great too. But
yeah. So what made you switch to drums in later bands?
Well, there was this band. I'm glad you asked that, Chuck, because I'd forgotten. There was
Thank
this
you,
band,
Michael.
The Exterminators. You're welcome. There was this band, the Exterminators, which I wasn't in. That
right.
Was a, that was purported to be a punk band, and that sounded really good. So I said, well, I want to be in this band. So I said, you guys need a bass player? Well, no. Guitar player? No. Drummer? Yeah, we could use a drummer. So I started playing drums. I borrowed a drum set, put a floor tom between my knees because there wasn't a snare or a snare stand, and, you know, it was kick drum. And I joined the band, and that was that. Did a few rehearsals, played a couple of shows. It was pretty insane.
Would you say you were a natural for drums?
Well, drums are one of those things. You can either play them or you can't.
Okay.
Right.
You can practice all you want. You'll get better, but, you know. But
you have to have the rhythm.
You can't play drums if you can't play drums, and that's that.
You need a screwdriver to take that thing off.
That's what we've been learning, yeah. Here.
Don has a screwdriver over there somewhere.
I'm using, like, a lighter. You know, use the back of it.
Oh, black we're burning the station down over here.
We're trying. Okay.
All right, well, listen, I'm going to put a few fires out here and take a break, and we're going to...
Whoa, got it.
You almost took my eye out with
See,
that
I told
thing.
You, he's a sniper.
Man.
He could take your eye out at 50 paces.
I never thought it would happen to me.
Sorry.
You've been
there are beer caps flying like razor blades.
And then he was in 45 grave, too.
Master
right?
of the flying beer cap.
That's right.
Yeah, 45 grave. Well, that's
only
later.
10 minutes, I told you.
Yep, he could. He could do that.
All right, we're going to listen.
Seen him.
I believe it, man. That thing almost took my head off. Yep. It's a little tiny beer cap.
He's good.
Someone locked Deathy up in a cage. I think it's out of control now.
Well, you
beer
know.
Beer caps flying everywhere.
We'll let him out in a minute, and he can tell you the story.
All right, we're going to listen to the music news. We will be back with Don and Deathy after
music
this.
Music, too.
Hey, this is Mike TV, and this is the music news for the week of Friday, January 3rd. I hope everybody had a wonderful New Year and that you survived with all your fingers and toes. Here's the scoop. Here's what's going on in the music scene locally. Tonight, as I'm speaking, the Shakes are playing with the Cover Problem and the Blondes at Spaceland. So for those of you that are hankering to get outside and catch a live show, go check out those bands at Spaceland. The Shakes, their new record just came out. It's incredible. Go see them. Saturday at Mr. T's Bowl, Leopold, Tripod, Approximation, and the Mormons are playing. Tripod's incredible. It features two members of the band Hidden, Frank and Joey. They're both virtuosos on their particular instruments. You've got to see this band. The Mormons as well. I talked about them last week. They're a spectacle. They're an incredible band. This is for fans of the more hardcore, kind of punky stuff. Go check that out. Or if you're inclined to see a free show, or if you live on the West Side, go to the Good Hurt. It's a relatively new club on Venice Boulevard between Grandview and Sentinella. Maxine is playing. They're incredible. They sound like, if you're a fan of the Police, you're gonna love this band. If you're a fan of that kind of sound, then just go check out this band. The rest of the bill is incredible as well. You can't miss. Or you can go catch out Random Justice at the gig. I'm not a big fan of the venue, but I'm a huge fan of the band. They're uber pop. It's hook after hook after hook, featuring this vocalist who has an incredible voice, Brandon. Like, you just got to hear his voice to know what I'm talking about. But you're gonna love him if you see him. And that's at the gig. Or you can check out Icy Hawks in L.A. at the Tikes Lounge. That's T-A-I-X for those of you that are going to look up the address. It's Tikes Lounge. On Sunday, there's a show that you absolutely mustn't miss. You should get your fathers and mothers and daughters and brothers and sons and dogs and cats and put them all in the car and head over to the Knitting Factory, because my band is playing. All your bass are belong to us. And we're playing with Fatso Jetson. Who come from the desert, same place I come from. It's also the hometown of the Queens of the Stone Age, and also Mondo Generator and Caius and myriad other bands. So you guys got to go out, check out this show. Fatso Jetson, my band, All Your Bass Art Belong to Us, New Maximum Donkey, Knitting Factory, main stage. The show starts about 8,
8 o'clock. Or you can get out to Topper's. Again, this is Sunday, January 5th, the Knitting Factory show. You can get out to Topper's as well. I'm putting on a free show there. I do that every Sunday. It's another launch pad night, and there's an incredible bill. I don't have the bill, unfortunately, but it's an incredible one. On Monday, Go Buddy Go are playing at the Backstage Cafe. If you haven't seen Go Buddy Go, they're goddesses. You'll love their band. Go check them out. On Tuesday, January 7th, you also have another opportunity to catch out Go Buddy Go at my Launchpad night. It's a free night at Mr. T's Bowl. If you've never been, you must go because it's an incredible crowd, great music, the best music in LA, at cheap drinks, and it's free to get in. It's like, how can you go wrong? Go Buddy Go, my band, All Your Bass are Belong to Us, are playing. Merle Jagger, The Empire, all of these bands are incredible. Merle Jagger is sort of bluegrass on amphetamines. You don't want to miss the show. But if you have to miss it, if it's too far east for you, you can catch Pablo Brazil at the Derby and catch their brand of beautiful pop magic. Wednesday, January 8th, The Rails, Nighttime, and Raul are playing at Launchpad, another one of my Launchpad nights at Mr. T's Bowl. It's The Rails, Nighttime, and Raul. Raul fall, and they're the anchor band for the evening. They kind of fall. They're the headliner, and they fall in the Flying Burrito Brothers, Northern Lights, Beechwood Sparks vein. If you can't make that show, go check out The Rattlesnakes and Dirty Little Secret at Spaceland. On Thursday, January 9th, I know this show's going on because in Los Angeles there is a really thriving, incredible music scene. It blows my mind how much good music there is. If you're hearing this for the first time and you're going, my God, I didn't know, then you just need to only look nominally, and you will discover a world of incredible music. Go to Spaceland, go to Mr. T's Bowl, go to The Smell, go to the Good Hurt out in Venice or Mar Vista. Just search in the nooks and crannies, and you will find incredible music. It blows my mind that people are not writing about it and freaking out about it, because there are hundreds, and that's not an exaggeration. I could give you a list of 170 or 180 bands I know personally that are incredible. So go out and seek this music. I forgot to mention, Monday, January 6th is also the free nights at Spaceland. Those are always incredible. I'm not sure who's playing, but go check those out. Anyway, if you don't go to my shows, if you don't go to Launchpad Nights, go to somebody's show. Support the music scene, and you'll be part of something incredible. So thanks so much, and this is Mike TV signing off. Have a great week.
And we're back with Standing Room Only. My guests tonight, Dawn and Dethy from Deathbred.
Hey.
Hi.
That was Dawn. He's queuing.
We're queuing some good stuff up. Dethy, maybe you can answer this for me. How did you get the name Death?
Dethy was a beautiful thing. I was walking down the street on Broadway, or in San Francisco, right off Broadway, and I've been, talking with the Lord and walking around half drunk and not much
talking
going on.
Talking with a lawyer?
With the Lord.
Oh, with the Lord. I got
just kind of half drunk. And I looked up at this club, said Morty's, and I thought, Morty's, that means Dethy. And I thought, oh, my God, that's me, man, that's it. Oh, my God. And then later, these demons were harassing me, and when I came out of the thing, I had
that
name.
Your cell phone was
ringing. They always leave me gifts after they screw with my head. And they do. They're really nice guys. After they quit insulting my mother and stuff and whatever.
As most people are.
But hey, I'm strong, mother cannot be insulted.
Right.
So once I come out of it and I'm all stable, I get these gifts. Like, I got this tongue coming out of my guitar, the pickup thing, it goes, bleh. Like when I pull my vibrato arm down, bleh.
That's cool.
That and Morty and Dethy, a few gifts.
Morty.
But I was hanging with the Lord. It was unrelated, but I had a flashback to that particular experience, and that was when I took the name.
Oh, cool.
Real.
Wait, so what year was that when you took the name for
initially, that was 1989. Secondary, when I actually started using it, was 1991.
So you've been using it for quite a
1992.
While.
1992. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
13 years.
Yeah, quite a while.
And how did you guys come up with the name Deathbred, the band?
Well, I was sitting there trying to go, okay, this is kind of a heavy, kind of a dark metal kind of a thing. And some of the heaviest of the death metal or dark metal bands would be like the band Death or, Death Angel.
Or Bread.
And Andy Gallion get all screwed
Baby
up in a car
legend.
In an accident on tour. There's some popular bands, Death. And so it just kind of came to me, well, what's the best use in a way that would make someone think in their service?
Right.
And I thought Death Bread, obviously. It just seemed kind of obvious for some reason. Just came on me like Born for Death.
It's
or Born
B-R-E-D.
Out of Death, in the teenage image of the
Wait, what was that,
Lord.
Don?
It's B-R-E-D, by the way. Not bread like in Baby, I'm a Want You.
Okay.
Yeah, Born for Death. or born out of death in a teenage image of the Supreme Lord as he lives in his own plane.
Right.
And with the knowledge that we're all originally in his image, then the brain has the correct data for the body to process, I'd imagine. And I don't look too bad for a guy pushing 40. And so anyway, that's it. Oh, yeah. Blah.
And how long has Deathbred been together?
Since 1988 in different configurations.
So how long have you been? Did you start the band? Or who?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
You started the band?
I'm the founder.
He's the founding and only original member.
I'm the leader.
And then when did you join, Don?
Well, like,
what year was that?
I don't know. I guess it was last year.
Okay.
Was that a few months ago? It's been a long time.
Yeah, well, a little more than that. Yeah, it was definitely last year sometime. I'm so proud.
Yeah, it's not so bad.
And
I was never going to play drums again.
Yeah, he was going to give up on the whole thing.
Drums.
How did you get convinced to pick up drumsticks again?
Well, Deathy was doing something really cool, and I wanted to present it to the public, and he wasn't doing a very good job of that at the time, and so I figured,
look at these idiots I play with.
Yeah, they were more pathetic than even the ones he plays with now.
Did you just pretty much clean house at one point? Just get rid of everybody?
No, he was homeless.
Yeah. So I guess as a matter of speaking, yes.
Yeah. he cleaned himself right out of a house.
Yeah.
But it was really not that great a band, but I could tell there was something really great there. And so I got him a show at the Three of Clubs with my friend Howie Pyro, who plays bass with Danzig now, and he used to play with The Blessed, and he was in that horrible punk rock revival band Degeneration in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
I remember them.
Yeah, that was Howie. They sucked. He's great. But Howie's a weirdo record collector, not unlike myself. And he was running a club called the Death Disco at the Three of Clubs. And I told him, hey, look, I got this thing. This guy's like this – he's this homeless guy who talks to the Lord – And his name is Deathy, and he has this band called Deathbred, and his songs are actually really good, and it's just completely from outside, and I think it's and his design skills are incomparable. He's like this thing that makes everywhere he goes, he turns into his environment. Like Deathy has this weird power. With him, maybe it's some kind of weird power that forces him to do this, but he does have the ability and the necessity, as a matter of fact, to turn wherever he is into... Well, he brings what is within. He makes it occur without.
If someone gives me a can of paint.
Yeah, it's like he turns what's in his mind, what his vision will coat the walls.
I mean, see, anywhere you live, you get a bunch of mirrors and put them on all the surface
boundaries. Don't give away your secrets.
No, but it's free, really.
I've seen that, though, in your
sky
studio.
Simulation.
It looks good, huh?
Yeah,
it's just started,
your own
too.
Personal universe.
But the longer that Deathy inhabits a place, the more it looks like Deathy's brain.
Never go back.
The more it looks like
it's.
You
it's
mean all mirrored?
Too. Wherever, so you know, wherever he goes, I noticed that he makes his amps look like that. He makes his equipment he borrows. He makes it look like that.
What do you mean makes it look like Deathy's brain?
Well, you just got to see it. He finds things. He like finds things on the ground or just wherever and puts it
gold
together and makes this amazingly beautiful H.R. Giger of the gutter kind of stuff. It's just unbelievable stuff.
Wow.
And yeah, it's a talent that is without compare, and it's and he can't help it. You know, it's not like he has a choice. It's not like he even thinks about it. So I told Howie, we got to have this guy play at your club. It's going to be awesome. We got to have some time to decorate and this and that. He goes, okay. And so we did. And Deathy didn't have anyone to play drums. I said, okay, look, I'll play the fucking drums for you, okay? And then we had to find a guy to play bass, and we got this guy Heavy, who Deathy knew from Orange County or something, who's a whole other story entirely. And he's he's our bass player still.
Let me tell you.
The guy is amazing. I mean, he can't play bass worth a shit, but he rocks.
But he does.
He does. He is really
brilliant,
good in some ways.
Actually.
When he wants to be.
Idiot.
He is so brilliant. Yeah. It's unbelievable. The guy just should suck, but he just doesn't.
In a great kind of way.
So we're
going to hear this, you know, Don.
Oh, yeah, but whatever. No, he's
and we love him.
He's awesome beyond his abilities.
Where'd you guys find Heavy?
I've known him since 19. See, we played a show. Deathbred played a show with the Mentors, his last show before his death in 1996.
For El Duce's
on my birthday,
death.
On New Year's Eve, at TK Productions in West L.A. on Pontius by Santa Monica Boulevard. Anyway, he was there, and there's this guy in his three-piece band like I had, but his eyes looked strange.
Oh, yeah,
he had long
that was
hair,
heavy,
and
then.
He looked almost like...
Like if Gene Simmons was Alice Cooper.
It was like something I didn't want to be infected with.
Yep.
But he was very powerful as a band, his band leader.
He's
and a front man. And it was fairly frightening because I didn't want to catch what he had because it seemed almost like something forbidden or something like something I didn't want, you know, like
it's scary.
Almost like in the toilet. But it was but it was really, really masterful and intense, and he was the leader of this band, Holy Shit. And Holy Shit. You know, I had respect for him ever since then, and I called him once because I needed to back up, and he came out back in 98 when I was working in the Hollywood Rehearsal in Hollywood, and Ivar. And
he does what he wants, but he's still
awesome.
Night,
and he thought, and I just known him ever since then. And our friend Randy from the Gutter Sluts said, you got to get heavy because he's the guy for you. And I called him, yeah. And sure enough, he's the guy for us. He
yeah,
really
he's
is,
amazing.
You know?
At first, I thought he couldn't play at all because of hearing some of the stuff he was doing where he's just farting around and stuff. And then after a while, I'd be listening and going, oh, my God, this guy's, like, really good.
Really something.
When he gets into it and when he allows himself to be great, he is amazing. And that's how it's been lately. He's been really good. And we've been we're a three-piece. It's me and Deathy and Heavy. And
right.
For some reason, it's the magic combination of weird chemicals that makes an explosion every time.
Well, on this tape, well, you'd be the judge, but it's a little bit older. We got some new stuff we're doing now. He's throwing in new fills.
We don't have any tapes of us being great, and it's been great a lot. We just don't have it on tape, but
yeah.
This tape ain't so bad.
Are you working on a CD currently? What are you working on?
We're recording right now in the studio of this guy, Paul Black, who is the original singer of L.A. Guns and who personally invented Izzy Stradlin. And he's got a studio called Black City Studios.
That was cool.
And it's groovy. We're recording in Pro Tools, which is nice, this newfangled young person's computer stuff. But it's sounding pretty raw and pretty good. I've already destroyed his Gretsch drum set, much to his dismay, but he's still finishing the recording, luckily.
We only had two songs originally we were going to do, but he went in and said, okay, let's do the record.
Yeah, he liked it.
And we'll give him something later.
It kicks ass, I must say. Anyway, so to make a long story even longer.
Sure.
And hopefully shorten another one. So I joined the band at that point as a temporary thing just to get this show to happen at Three of Clubs.
Yeah.
And it was so good. It was so amazing.
Wait, what year was that?
It sucked so bad.
And it sucked, yeah.
It sucked so bad, but it was still so much more
they didn't know any
amazing than anything else that I just had to say, okay, let's do this. And I'm still loving it, regretting it, and into it to this very day.
And we're on Southern Lord Records currently.
Southern Lord recording artist, Stepbred.
Came out to rehearsal, and he signed us on the spot. Casey from Amen came
in. Casey Chaos. He's big
Chaos.
In England.
Yeah, big old, you know,
I
anyway.
Just talked to him today on the phone.
No way.
He's taking his dad to the hospital when I got a hold of him. It's in Florida, yeah.
Wow.
Wow, you got a hold of him on a cell?
Yeah, weirdest thing. But anyway, hi, Casey.
Hey,
in case you're listening, which
miss
I'm sure
you.
You're not.
Ain't seen you forever. So, I hear he's in
Rick
Norway hanging out with the death metalers.
Yeah, he was. He
cool.
went to Norway to get
that
some death metal
cool.
lore.
I can't wait for that kind of
He wanted to burn down a church.
Yeah, so I thought, I heard they don't do that anymore. That's not
well, they're
cool,
made of
but
wood
that's
there,
hard to believe. So. It's almost kind of disappoints me, even though it shouldn't.
You know.
Well, we got some music, right?
Yeah, we do have some music.
It's crap, but it's what
it's
it
me.
Is.
It's deathy, good. Heavy.
No real leads over the Don. We just, too screwed up to do it. Right?
This is done in our studio, just at our
couldn't
house.
Find
on,
cool
on,
tapes.
Like,
they've swallowed into the
I think it's a four-track.
Of his room.
Is
Don's
it a four-track?
Actually, we recorded it on a cassette deck, and we took it.
Yeah.
Stuck it in a four-track, and I think we stuck a vocal on or something.
It's kind of just how we record.
And a backing vocal. That's right. We sure did. Yep. That's what
it shouldn't work, but for some reason, damn, it sort
we'll
of
see.
Rocks sometimes.
You be the judge.
Well, you got the volume up? There it is. It's Deathbred on HillRadio.com.
Here we go. We'll be back after this song.
Yo, Christian. We'll be right back.
And you are listening to Standing Room Only on Kill Radio with our guest Deathbred,
yeah.
Dawn and Deathy.
That's us.
That's us.
That's you.
You can call the station at 213-252-0998 if you want to ask a question or tell us we suck or anything like that. You know,
don't tell us we suck. I mean, we know, okay?
Dawn. Anyway.
We're always open to ridicule really here at Kill Radio. Yeah. that's a showstopper right there.
That's on the stinking song, Under the Sun.
What was the name of the song?
That Under the Sun is the next for Living Under the Sun.
That last one was called
Sun.
We Like the Night.
That was We Like the Night, because we do. And Under the Sun is sort of, you know,
it's because we like
under
the day.
Sun, we're in the material universe. Here it is, you know. But
all right. Well, before we go to this next song,
we're above the sun.
Let me ask you a question. Are you guys planning on going on tour anytime soon?
Oh yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
so, what are your plans for that?
Plans. What do
you
mean?
Well, I figure we're gonna record this record first.
The
next thing,
because
we're on Southern Lordy's waiting on Paul Black to finish recording us. We do that starting, I guess, after next Friday, because that's when he gets back from wherever the hell he's at. He was in Italy before. Now I don't know where he goes everywhere.
He's a time traveler.
Are you recording this whole album in his studio? Because
yeah.
I know you do a lot of recording in your own
place. Little home.
Yeah, the fortress.
And we're doing this at his place.
We lose that like tomorrow.
We're destroying his rest drums.
We're not even going to finish this project here in pre-production phase. But all these songs will be on the record, and we're recording it
in some form or another. Hopefully a better one.
Yeah, it better be. And I believe it is. So.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like we're like vampires. We can't be captured on tape.
No, we can. It's just got to have
just hasn't happened yet.
Not to have all the knobs turned in the right position at the right time. Not too loaded to do it.
Do you have any idea when you're going to release this album?
I was hoping.
Any plans?
Damn it. Heavy saying March 1st.
March 1st?
It's impossible.
We don't know.
Press up a record.
It'll come out when it comes out.
But we'll be making like demo copies. Is it coming out on vinyl? For $5 right away. You know, that'll be
we're putting out a 7-inch, though.
If it takes more than 2 months.
Probably the first thing we're putting out is a 7-inch.
You know. I'll come in Harry Carey.
Yeah,
it'll be a couple
that'll
months.
Be live on the 7-inch.
Couple months.
And we'll have at least have the demo at every show for $5 or something like that.
And we'll have a video of him committing Harry Carey that'll be available as well.
Eventually, probably. If I'm unlucky, you know.
If you go on tour.
Or
where
if y'all are very lucky. I don't know.
If we go on tour, you can commit Harry Carey every night for a month or two.
Yeah, get paid
That's
for
gonna
it.
That's going to be quite
We're doing it tonight.
Oh, you're doing good. You're doing good. If you go on tour, where would you be going? Do you have any idea?
Somewhere
wherever
else.
Wherever the management company
somewhere
sends
else.
Us. But,
well, you guys want to go to Europe, right?
A West Coast
sure,
tour. Got to go to Europe.
We'll do the West Coast to Europe.
Want
to
play New
the
York.
West Co- yeah.
Oh, actually, I wouldn't mind just, you know, playing every major city in the U.S., you know, hitting Europe somewhere in between, coming back. You know, just blah, blah, blah. Just every guy's dream.
We'll go to some places and play some sounds.
All right, give us that phone number again.
That phone number again is 213-252-0998.
Give us a call. The phone lines are open, and we'd be happy to answer your questions. We're going to listen to the film news, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to hear another Deathbred song. What song are we going to listen to next?
Next one is Under the Sun. It's next in line.
All right, so we'll be back.
Here in Los Angeles, it's me, it's L.Y.T., Y. Thompson of New Times, quote-unquote, fame, and let's talk cinema. I'm going to anticipate your reaction to that, which I just said. I know what you're saying to yourself, oh my god, oh jeez, cheese ball, cheese-o-rama, catchphrase is so corny. I know, but you remember it. That's the point. Before we start talking cinema, I'd just like to say that your wonderful host, John Daly, repeatedly hit on me on New Year's Eve. John, I still have your love beads. Come get them if you want them. But I promised a while back I'd talk about Lord of the Rings. And I'm going to do that right now. Because this has sort of been framed as a love it or hate it situation, and I'm somewhere in between, I'm afraid. I'm not a lover or a hater, you know. I kind of enjoy these movies okay, but I think they have a lot of problems too. The first one I had a lot more problems with, because it seemed like there were a lot of color filters being used that were just conspicuous. Everything shot in either close-up or super wide shot, no medium shots in the whole thing, which kind of pissed me off, but fortunately, in the Two Towers, there are a lot of medium shots, and there's Gollum, who's cool, though he talks kind of like Donald Duck. I think I'm the only person who thinks this, but go with that in mind next time. The thing that the Lord of the Rings movies have failed to do for me thus far is I still feel like I'm watching people walk through a field in New Zealand, which I am. the world of Middle Earth feels completely empty. It doesn't feel like people have lived in it and, you know, been there a while. The only occasions you see cities, it's usually from a distance. It's a CGI thing, like Rohan in the new one. It's a bunch of houses on the side of a mountain, but all we ever see is the up close is the big hall. And that's not really enough to get a sense of a town. We finally see a town in Gondor at the end, but it's completely deserted. In the first one, you had the Shire, but it still looked like, you know, three or four little houses that they built in a field in New Zealand to me. I don't know, for some reason it doesn't feel like a lived-in world at all. And I don't know why that is. Maybe, you know, some more horse tracks across these empty fields, more things like that. I don't know, it doesn't suck me in, and I know it sucks a lot of you guys in. You're probably going to hate me for this, and I don't hate the movies, but I'm not in the world. I'm hoping to be, I'd love to be, but it just, for some reason, it kind of falls flat. Anyway, I don't even know if I've exhausted my allotted time or not. There is one other thing I want to talk about. Peter Jackson insists on showing his roots as a zombie filmmaker in these movies. And I think he should, you know, take advantage of the bigger budget, because the zombies he shows us in these movies look cheap. There's the way the Ringwraiths look once Frodo puts the ring on. In other words, they go from these scary faceless things to bad makeup jobs of old people who don't look that scary. And then in the Dead Marshes in the Two Towers, you've got these great sort of floating dead bodies directly under the surface, but then when Frodo falls in, these cheesy-ass zombies start grabbing for him, and they look like their faces were made out of, like, plaster of Paris or something. Something really cheap that Jackson would have used on Dead Alive. It doesn't really fit into a big-budget Lord of the Rings movie to me. They look like cheap zombies. And I know that's a homage or homage, for those of you more pretentiously inclined in your speech, but come on, spend some money on the zombies. You can still get a PG-13 and have some creepy zombies. Michael Jackson's Thriller proved that, and those zombies were quite a good deal more convincing. But I've said enough for now. Have a happy 03, and I'll try to find something more interesting to either bitch about or praise in the coming weeks. Was I rambling today? Yes, in fact I was. But I'm hungover. Cut me some slack, people. I would cut you plenty of slack, too. Wait, no I wouldn't. Never mind. OYTRules.com is the official website of Luke Y. Thompson.
And we're back with Standing Room Only with John Daly, my guests, Don Bowles and Deathy from Death Red. And we're going to hear one more song.
From Death Bread.
Well, too technically.
From Death Bread. Yeah, well, we're going to hear one more song next. And what's it called?
Under the Sun.
Under the Sun. Yeah. And you're listening to Standing Room Only on Kill Radio. Don, what is your all-time favorite Germ song that you performed?
Gosh, I don't know. I liked a lot of them.
That you performed.
Oh, that I performed.
Yeah, that you performed. What's your what was your favorite to play?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't like playing any of them. It was work.
It was work.
It's hard to do. Play it. You try it. You know, it was a song called Sex Boy.
Sex Boy?
It got me to join the band. Yeah, but I wasn't on that one, and I never played it with them, actually. I don't think we ever performed it. Screamers did it.
Well, you know, it's we have Sex Boy queued up right now. Should we give it a listen?
Yeah, this is the song that made me move out here from Arizona to join the Germs. I'm not on this.
Cool.
I'm sorry to say. It's Don Aria, who's the genius on the drums on this one. And this is recorded at the Up in Smoke taping, where they were doing the film Cheech and Chong movie, Up in Smoke, and the Germs showed up and appalled everybody by being actually punk. And they didn't know how to play at all, but they just insisted on doing so anyway, which was part of the beauty of the Germs.
I know how it is.
Yep.
All right, Sex Boy live from the Germs. What was all the glass breaking in that?
Those were glasses breaking. It was at the Roxy while Cheech and Chong were doing that movie Up in Smoke, and they were having bands play and such. So those were glasses breaking. Darby was apparently going around kicking the glasses off the tables, which I sort of thought was cool, considering our singer in the Exterminators, which is the band I had just started playing drums with, Johnny Macho, he did the same sort of thing. He used to...
Oh, it works again.
Amazing. Your assistant has assisted us.
Assistance is amazing. Isn't he just walks over here and things start working.
That's how it is. That's assistance for you.
If only he could do that with my life, you know.
Don did that for me.
Yeah, it's true. I did, huh? It's weird.
Yeah, he saved my life, yeah. Him and a couple other people.
I hope everyone in the world doesn't hate me too much for it.
Conrad.
Very cool.
Yeah, screw you.
But yeah, it's like, you know, what's this amazing guy doing this amazing stuff, and he's just dying, living in the street, and nobody's, you know, going to be able to hear what he does or see what he does or experience what he is. It's like, fuck that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, to see it's better than just to hear it, though. But
oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to see it. It's amazing.
It can sound like crap. We won't know to hear the CD. It can sound really bad.
But, you know, you still have the best hooves in town.
Best what?
Hooves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're lying with... the best qualities of the human personality with the best qualities of your favorite animals.
That's right.
So I got these
all your favorite animals.
Made in the hooves. Yeah, hey, I drink beer like a bear with two hands.
Like many bears that I've been seeing.
Beer, bear, like you know, same
dog.
Thing.
Many beers I've been seeing drinking bear.
Well, ooh.
You know
there
it.
You go, barely.
So anyway, I called up the Germs around when I heard the B-side of the Forming single, which is what we just heard. It was just called The Germs Live on the B-side of the Forming single. And I thought it was the most fucked up thing I'd ever heard. It was either the worst or best thing ever recorded. And I called them up. A friend had their number. And I called Darby and Pat and separately and told them, hey, I heard you guys needed a drummer, and I just started playing drums. I'm going to come out and join your group. And they said, oh, okay. I asked what they were into. You know, I named off all the punk bands and stuff that I was into right at the time.
What did you name off?
Oh, you know, like Subway Sect and The Lurkers and Metallar Bane and Wire and The Fall. And they're like, well, I haven't really heard of much of that. I mean, we like the Sex Pistols, but really we're mainly like into Yes and Queen. I was like, and David Bowie. And I was like, what?
David Bowie?
I thought they were totally just you know, fucking
so
with
great.
Me.
When I found that out, I couldn't believe it. I was so impressed. And
yeah.
I was so happy.
I was like, okay, well, and I'll still be coming out and joining your band.
Confirmed everything I thought.
But I had just started playing in the Exterminators, and there's this tape that we queued up, I believe. And this is just a random couple of songs from the only show that's on tape. It's at some biker bar called The Zoo, or Little Abner's, I forget. Those are the only two places we played. And it's in Phoenix, Arizona, 1973. Early 78, like probably January 78. I just started playing drums like a couple of weeks beforehand. And this is it.
He's so good.
Rob Graves, by the way, the bass player of 45 Graves, his first band he played bass in. He had played guitar before that. And it's pretty good. Our guitar player's name was Buzzy Murder. He was 16 years old. He was really into Jimi Hendrix. And he had long hair, which is really uncool, but he did. And
so did you.
And I still do. Well, actually, at the time, I didn't. Actually, at the time, I had a crew cut.
He looked great, too.
You had a crew cut?
Yeah, I had. Well, it was almost a crew cut. I kept trying to have a Hollywood spike do.
When?
But it ended up, like, the shape of my head and about, like, half an inch long. All my hair. Because it kept being too long on one side and then too long on the other side, and I kept trying to cut it to even it out, and it ended up, I might as well, I was like a suede head or something.
During this era.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, it was during the Exterminators, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, actually, it was right after, right before I moved to L.A.
Right, but I've seen that picture.
Oh, I had long hair the whole time,
it
just about.
It looks so beautiful.
Oh, sure.
It's the most beautiful photo that I've ever seen.
People used to try and beat me up all the time because they had just cut their hair, and they thought, oh, who's the hippie? And it turned out I was like the drummer in their favorite band, and and then they'd feel like a real idiot.
So cool.
And
I'd
have a
that.
Bleeding lip.
Tell me about your book.
Oh, the book, yeah. Well, it's a book. It's about the Germs.
What's
it's
called?
It's about Darby Crash and the Germs. It's called Lexicon Devil, The Short Life and Fast Times of Darby Crash and the Germs. And
it's rad.
On Feral House.
Very good book.
I don't like to read, and I love it.
Yep.
I personally love it.
And there's some great pictures, too.
And you did an introduction, right?
Introductory well as musings, as the publisher called them.
Right.
I wrote the fucking thing. What do you think? Why do you think I call it my book?
Well, who's it give credit to on the cover?
Oh, Brendan Mullen, who's the guy. He had interviews with dead people, and so we had to kind of, like, sweeten the pot if we wanted to get his interviews that he did for a movie that he was doing stuff for about the Germs that never happened.
Oh, okay.
And he was pretty damned helpful in his way, you know, so I'm not going to denigrate his, you know,
he
contributions
to
it.
He wanted to join our band at one time. He saw me playing. Art told me.
No way.
He contacted him and told him that he saw us play and that he wanted to join on drums.
Brendan?
Yep.
That is so cool.
But you got the guy, Jig.
Brendan's
that,
an awesome
Jig,
guy.
That. I'm not drunk yet.
Adam Parfrey also contributed a paragraph to the book, and he's the publisher. He's an awesome guy, too. Yes, a fine paragraph it was, too. But anyway, I'm glad I didn't get first author credit, to tell you the truth, because, man, the lawsuits are going to be flying fast and furious. People say what people say. What can you do? There's so many conflicting things in there, too, which I really like about it.
That's
it's an oral history.
People say what they say. What can you do?
Yeah, what can you do?
A conflicting blah, blah, blah. That was it.
That's it. It's going to be the book
Magico.
Song. It's going to be the book's theme song. So what do you want? Should we play this Exterminator?
Yeah, let's play the Exterminator.
Live
you know what song
Phoenix.
We've got here?
Sure, we sucked. The guitar player came unplugged at least twice a song. It was, and I had been playing for all of a week and a half. I beat the hell out of those drums, though. Single kick drums. This stuff's pretty insane.
This is a good one.
It's all right. This
it
is like
so
an. This is the
all
instrumental.
It was, though, so I don't,
this is the
be.
Instrumental. It sounds like the Peter Gunn theme, and then it leads into a song called "I Don't Give a Fuck," which is pretty much all the words. All
right, the Exterminators
live in 1978.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We're
Nazi sex bitch. And Nazi sex
bitch. Yeah, I've changed my name again to Nazi sex bitch.
You sure did.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Why'd you do that?
I don't know.
He's a fun guy.
Yeah.
He's a fun guy.
So fun day.
Mush my room.
You got to pay the rent.
Yep.
All right, it's time for the end of the show.
Anything,
all right. You guys...
It's my favorite part.
Yeah, I like to say something.
Yeah.
The song I wanted to do, Sugar Sugar, of course, by the Archies. I had no idea that the Germs had done their first little appearance, you know, with
the
Kim
Valley
Night
or
with
the
Weirdos or somebody, anyway. And so
well, the Germs used to cover it.
Yeah, they did. I was really kind of, you know, amazed. I thought it was kind of an interesting coinkydink.
Yep, it is. And Deathy's version is rather cool, and it has the Johnny Quest theme.
Yeah, the,
as
the vocals
the
are a little. Some of the back vocals
solo.
Are a little too. I might have to drop
really
a couple
weird.
Of them, but other than that, screw you.
Yeah, let's hear a little of it. It's pretty good.
Anything
it's
else?
It's almost as good as the Archies version.
Oh, yeah. Scream to the noise that illuminates the darkness of our killing fields until the sky turns black metal and the world is our own. Please.
Okay.
That's all else I have to add. Thank you.
And there you go. And here, somewhere, is Deathbread's lovely version of Sugar Sugar. Tell me if the guitar solo doesn't sound like the Johnny Quest theme.
Let's
I mean,
get
I,
on
I
with
think
this
it
already.
Does.
All right. Well, thank you both for being here tonight.
You're so welcome.
Thank you
all
so
one
much
of you.
For having us.
And we'll see everybody.
That cool gig we had in your backyard.
That's right. We played a party in your backyard, and it was fun.
Loved it.
Yeah,
loved it.
Very good.
Was
very good. Got to pull out the go-go party cage.
Hey, well. you seen that guy walking around the streets with the black, big black leg feet thing and the Christ on his buckler?
Oh, yeah, that guy.
The guy with the black things on his arms and the like, whitish hair.
Yeah, what about him?
He can buy the conditioner. And his eyes are blacked out. That guy, that's me, if you see him walking around Hollywood. You know,
give him a quarter.
That's me. I've been here for so many years now. I hope you refer to me.
He's earned his beer.
But that's me. So see you out there. Oh, yeah, I was going to – one more thing.
Yeah.
I was going to do a record called Conversations with a Fire Hydrant. Because talking to the Lord, a couple of friends of mine had seen me out all over L.A. talking to the Lord.
Well, yeah.
I used to talk out loud. But now I learned it looks like a crazy person.
Sometimes
so
the Lord takes on
I
the aspect of a
I don't talk out loud to the Lord in public anymore. So I was thinking that would be a cool name for Conversations with a Fire Hydrant. But other than that, that's all I have to say. And bye-bye.
Any comments, questions, please. Just give us a call here at whatever the hell that number was.
Yeah, the phone's ringing off the hook.
Oh, yeah. We're so much we're just giving up on answering it.
Thank you for being here. We'll see or hear everybody next week.
Hail Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Standing room only.
My love.
10 to 11 every Friday. Thanks, everybody. Good night. Los
Jesus
Angeles.
All inclusive. Bitch.